time to cast off on a new adventure. This is Real Adventures with Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood.
Good morning and welcome to Real Adventures. Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood joining you this morning to talk all things fishing, boating and the great outdoors. Good morning, Aaron Hadgood.
Good morning, Patrick. Going a little bit better than last week, which is good, but
ticker's firing.
Before I'm gonna get in before you get into me at the start of the show. I know it's coming straight at me. During the week, I had a flat tire on my trailer. When I say a flat tire, I mean a leaking tire that's been leaking for 6 months.
You actually said off air. I've been filling it up. I've been pumping it up every couple of weeks. Did you not think, you know what? Maybe there might be an issue with this because it's a little bit abnormal.
Might have been every 4 weeks I was pumping it up. No, I pumped it up a few times, but what I did was I was actually catching up with you for some lunch and dropping some snapper off and we're going to catch up for some lunch. And I dropped it into the tire place in Ocean Grove and said to him, I've got a slow leak here, guys. Do you mind having a look? And I'll be honest with you. I took the tire off the trailer, and I actually knew how to do that too. And I took it in, and I didn't even look at the tire. And I said, I've got a slow leak. I said, I don't know why. I literally pull it out of the ute, pass it to the gentleman standing at the back of the car, and he goes, oh, that's why. I said, what? There's a massive nail sticking out the side of it. I'm like, oh, that's the slow leak.
You don't have to be a sort of tire engineer or anything like that.
I covered my backside pretty quickly. I said, oh, I didn't even have a look, mate. And then he goes, oh.
For 6 months you haven't just checked it. Maybe just had a little bit of a look over it.
It was hard to turn on the trailer when you got the boat on it. And I said to the gentleman, I said, do you mind just hanging around for 2 seconds? I should be able to quickly do it now. I'll just make sure the machine right to go. So yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be wonderful.
I pull the back of the ute down and I'm sitting in the back of the ute on the back of the tray there. 10 minutes goes by. 15 minutes go by.
20 minutes?
It was longer than 20 minutes. It would have had to have been. I'm sitting there. I didn't want to go in and be pushy. And I walked in and I said, guys, I don't mean to be rude or anything. I said, I'm happy to come back in 4 hours' time. I said, whenever you need. I said, just wondering if that tire's done if you forgot to do it. That's fine. And he comes out and goes, I'll just check for you. What was your name? I said, oh, Aaron. And he goes, no worries. And he comes back and goes, mate, the young fella went on a lunch break 25 minutes ago. He goes, he's going to do it when he gets back. I said, I've got somewhere to be. So that was my little trailer story during the week before you got into me. I thought I'd give it.
Morning, hang around. Yeah, no worries, mate. I'm just going to go for lunch. And if you just hang here, I'll get it done.
He said, oh, just 2 seconds. I'll make sure I can do it. And I'm thinking, I was just thinking, oh, he just chucked it on. He's going to do it and walk out with it done. And yeah, I picked it up at 5 o'clock that day.
Hey, bit of news around the traps. The new Ford Ranger was released during the week, Redmond, the new generation Ford Ranger. Your initial thoughts, one of the better looking vehicles released over the last few years. There's tech upgrades right throughout it. They've spoken about the dimensions that have slightly changed and they've widened the car and spoken about how it's going to improve stability. I dare say it's got a fair bit to do with the fact that this vehicle will probably be able to be built out and electrified once that technology catches up because of simply how long these vehicles stay in production for. The last model Ranger, I think, was 10 or 12 years. So obviously there's upgrades that go along the way. There's tech upgrades, there's facelifts, but the bare bones, if you will, stayed the same, and then there's the external changes. So whether that's widening to allow electrification, we'll hear more details from Ford as we start to get more information from it. But it's pretty good looking, Redmond.
It is a good looking car. Now, my question comes, was it an opportunity for Ranger to jag the market in the towing sort of sector where they could have probably bumped up some stuff?
Well, we still haven't heard about the towing capacity. You can bet your life it'll be at least 3.5 tons. I suppose we're still waiting for a 4-ton ute.
That was my question. Was it that the chance that it's had? Like, so Volkswagen.
But then you talk about cost blowouts. I'm assuming the components that go in to then changing
It's suspension's the big one.
Yeah.
That's the biggest cost in the car.
Well, that was always the discussion around the Raptor when it was first launched, and the fact that that only had a 2.5 ton payload, but the racing suspension went into it was a huge upgrade and advance on what's there. But quite clearly, there's different reasons for the for why you build a Raptor versus why, you know, you have your wild track at the top end that can tow 3.5 tons. The Raptors weren't designed initially clearly for big load hauling.
Yeah, well, what I was going to mention then, I've just seen it in front of me here, is I know Volkswagen, because I just got the Volkswagen, and it went from the twin turbo to the single turbo V6 with a bigger engine. And I can see here there's three different options in the Ford range. You've got the 2 litre, you've also got the 3 litre, and there's another twin turbo 2 litre involved in it as well. What would you recommend?
And there's even been the discussion around a 3 litre turbo V6 diesel,
yeah,
which is probably the most exciting one.
So that's the one you reckon you'd aim at if you were towing?
Well, that's the one that I'm most excited about.
It's 10 speed.
About from a performance aspect. Towing aside, one of the most exciting features of this new vehicle is probably the agreement that Ford have obviously reached with ARB, and the fact that there's now more than 600 accessories that will be ready and loaded because of the partnership with ARB. So any off-road enthusiast would be familiar with ARB, and Ford have obviously come to an agreement with them where all their accessories now can be attached straight to it. So if you've got bull bars, there's not going to be issues with cooling and that sort of thing. There's going to be no real modifications that need to be had because it's been designed in consultation. So as we get more information, it's going to be really interesting to see. Probably the market leader over the last 5 years, it's been certainly when you ride Hilux to Ford, it's been, you know, there's no comparison at the moment. And the D-Max has obviously taken some market share. They're going quite well, and it's such a popular category in the Australian marketplace. We're going to see this new Ford Ranger in the first half of 2022. So it's exciting to see, Redmond. Stabycraft have released, well, or have partnered once again with Sea Legs. And
yeah, I did see this.
And it's their...
I'm surprised you haven't got it yet. In all honesty, I'm surprised you haven't got yourself a little 2100 and thrown that off Moggs Creek here as we record.
Well, I dare say where this will come in at is probably going to be in your mid-300,000s.
It's a lot of money.
It is a huge amount of money. And we saw this a few years ago with it was the 2100, but it's the Ultra Cab that Staby are working with at the moment. And it's quite a piece of engineering, but it will come at a premium once it hits the market. There's no doubt about that.
I know where you're going to lead into now. I'm not real happy about it. It goes down to car maker GM to have a crack at electric boats. Is that where you're going to go into now?
No, I was going to finish off. So if you want on Staby, if you want more info on it's called the Staby X is their project name for it. And they're still being quite cagey around what they've released. There's been a few teaser videos and it's been released in the 2400 model.
Look at it just driving down the street.
Well, it's one of those things you can do in New Zealand. I'm not sure you can do that in the main streets of Bondi. But
it would be funny.
Everyone has their different applications. Yes, sorry. We will get to carmaker GM having a crack.
My favourite segment of the show.
No, it is topical. It's happening very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And there's more investment in the electrification of the outboard market space. It's no longer just Min Coders. So GM have invested $150 million.
What I could do with that money.
Into the electrification of outboard engines. So whether they'll be a player in this market remains to be seen, Redmond. So we'll be keeping abreast of that. Now, not speaking of, but let's get to a bit of your week in fishing. Now, you hammered the snapper during the week.
I did, and one thing that you and I know both doesn't happen is you don't ever catch fish when a camera's out. You just don't.
It's one of the, if you speak to anyone that is involved, like Paul Worslings, your Lee Rainers of the world, every time they get the show ready, they have all the production crew there, there's no fish.
I could have the snapper on a leash out the front and ring Paul to do a show, or Craig from Soul Guide, and say, be here now, I know the snapper, they're going to go nuts. They would get there and somehow undo themselves off that leash and disappear, because it's just the way it works. But
it's like, I would far prefer to see a ship. People talk about bananas. Load your boat up with bananas.
Don't bring a camera.
Well,
during the week, it wasn't the case for us. I had a massive day on Wednesday. And
beautiful day in the morning.
It was absolutely stunning. It was as good as it gets. I woke up in the morning. It was 7:30. I think it was 19 degrees already. It was warm as a t-shirt. Like, it's the first, it was probably the first warm morning that we've had.
It's starting to feel a bit more like summer, isn't it?
It definitely is. And I know next week's looking sensational with nearly 30 degree days, a couple of them. So we're getting there sort of. But it's Craigo wanted to do some squid first.
Yep.
So we went out, this is for the Soul Guide membership platform that we have, and we filmed all that, and then it was mainly about snapper.
Online tutorial for those that are wondering. So Aaron will literally talk through how he approaches different species of fish at different types, at different times of the day, yep, different times of the week, talk about moon phases, all those sorts of things that help improve your catch rate.
And it went to plan. The squid went good. So we got them quick, and I said to Craig, why don't we just go out and try for a snap at middle of the day? And traditionally, I actually messaged you earlier in the week and seeing if you were available for the Wednesday afternoon if you wanted to go snapper fishing.
I was hosting Drive with Andy and Josh Jenkins actually during the week. That's why I was wasting my time with those two.
You could have been catching snapper.
I was wasting my time with those two. I'll make that very clear. Wasting.
Well, you missed out on probably one of the best midday snapper sessions I have ever had. It was sensational. It was mirror calm. Like, it was as flat as a piece of glass. You could have water skied in the middle of the bay. It was that calm. And the fish just went off their head. And the reason I reckon they went off their head was that water temp last week was that 15 degrees.
Yep.
And it was 17.9 we had by the time we got out there. Yep. And I know surface temp's a little bit different to down deep, but that's massive in itself. And I reckon that was the first real bump for them, and they went literally stupid. I know a few other people have had great sessions during the day, but this was next level. Now, we were filming. We landed probably around 15 fish, and we got one at about 3.5 kilo, and all the rest were 5 and bigger. So seriously big Portfolio Bay snapper. And
I know, there's one in my fridge.
Yeah, I got one for you. So it was they told you to make sure the whole bottom section was clear. But they just went fantastic. And for those, I did mention snap season opened a few weeks ago, but it's going really good right now. Pick your times and days. Watch those videos that we've just done. They'll be up in a couple of days. Make sure you get on top of those. And we cover everything. And it was a really, really good day out on the water. So it was just one of those ones that went to plan. A couple of little whispers of some school tuna as well, Pat, offshore.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you breaking it?
I don't reckon that. I reckon a couple of people might have been drunk or something when they seen them, but I've had some good sound effect photos sent to me.
Yep.
It could have been really, really big salmon, or they were school tuna. So I've had a few little reports just one side on the sort of west side of the heads in about 50, and another report down off your neck of the woods, down off sort of Anglesey way. So,
I give a little Reds tip, an early Reds tip? With the success that you and we have had over the past sort of 12 to 24 months with bungee casts, invest early, because they'll disappear on shelves very quickly.
And they just catch fish. They just catch fish. And you got to upgrade the trebles, as you and George were doing the other week. So make sure you upgrade the trebles to a decent hook. And just regarding that weather that we were talking about, it's been finally announced, and it was the word I was trying to get last week, the La Nina. La Nina, that was the word I was trying to get, and that was before they announced it too. So
Jane Bunn
here, but it's a better looking version here. But it's they've announced it, and basically what it means is it's not necessarily going to be colder as such. It's going to be wetter. We might get a few colder days due to the water, and I'm not going to go into too much depth, but what we are going to see is humidity.
Thank God for that, because you couldn't remember the the name of it.
I'm all over it now. I pretty much created this, but it's going to be a very humid, wet summer. So it's going to be a different heat to what we're traditionally used to in Victoria, and this is going to cover the whole east coast of Australia. So Queensland, New South Wales into us. So possibly South Australia too. So it's going to play a fair role. It's going to be very interesting with the fishing because humidity, water temperature, humidity is a great thing for temperature. It holds heat. Yep. And humidity quite often means cloudy overcast. So if we get cloudy overcast days, we're going to see a lot of warm nights.
Snapper.
We've got tuna as well. Will the tuna hang around longer? If it hangs around longer, will they start earlier? Because the cold nights are what traditionally bring the water temp down, and that's basically going to shape up our sea. I'm very interested to see what La Nina does for us over the next few months.
We've got a massive show of real adventures coming your way this morning. Aaron's going to talk weather, all that and more.
You're listening to Real Adventures with Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. It's time to find out what's biting in your part of the country. Redmond, what do we have first?
Tasmania, Patrick, fishing very well from Bird Point. Those salmon are back, the ones that we spoke to a couple of weeks back. They went quiet for a little bit, but it come down to that rain that they had. I think the fish were still there. They were out wider.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the place myself, but I did say that show, if it is fresh water gets into that area, push out a bit further if possible.
Because Real Adventures scouts are telling us push that a little bit further out.
A little bit wider. So make sure now that it's cleared up a bit because they've had nicer days, they've come back in again. So they're fishing well. The Mercy River saw some seriously big rainbows, pretty much taking plastics. Plastics has taken over plastics. I don't want to admit it. Usually I'm throwing the plastics in the side of the boat and using bait, but they've definitely taken over. In other words, buy some power bait. It'll work too.
Yeah.
Beauty Point. We spoke about this last week, and I'm going to say it again because those trevally got even better. So I've seen plenty of reports of big trevally, like a few kilo trevally. So Z-Man, curl, anything with a curly tail. We'll dumb it down. Any grubs with a curly tail is going to work. Turtleback worms, we spoke about it last week, but get down there to Beauty Point because it's fishing really, really well. Heading over to the warm part of the world where COVID doesn't exist in WA, Exmouth, Spanish mackerel.
Nice.
They're fishing very, very good.
My favourite eating fish, Spanish mackerel.
Are you calling it?
Yep, it is.
That's a big call.
Yep, literally cut them into...
Cutlets?
Into cutlets, yeah. Bone in. Oh, it's just beautiful.
Bone in?
Yep. So
I thought you were a boneless sort of guy.
Well, I don't eat the bone, but once you fill it
like
up.
Like a steak.
Oh, yeah, like a steak. They're beautiful eating fish.
I had a beautiful ribeye during the week. That was really nice too. Warren River's fishing very well for redfin as well. So if you are in the area of Warren River, get down there. They're good redfin. A kilo and a half, 1.5, 1.6. So some good redfin.
If you're going to take the family down there, just bear in mind that you don't go and cast right up against the stream, if you will, because you'll spook them. So cast it a little bit further back. A bit like trout fishing. You just need to sneak up on them a bit sometimes.
And they eat well. I have eaten redfin a couple of times, and they're very on par with the whiting side of things. So very, very – to compare saltwater to freshwater.
Not bad for an introduced species.
They're accepted, like trout, sort of. A six-year-old boy as well in WA, Pat, has landed his first ever billfish.
This is a cracking story.
It was a sailfish of the billfish species. It went 18 kilo on 8 kilo, which was caught in Exmouth. It's a pending WA and Australian record. So well done to the little fella. I didn't get his name, but well done to the little fella out of Exmouth. That's terrific.
I reckon the second best fishing destination in Australia.
What's number one?
Groot Island.
Is that just a soft spot for yourself?
Yeah, it is.
Good on soft spot.
Exmouth is probably the number one.
I've never been to Exmouth, and for you guys that are fishing it right now, listening to this, as soon as you guys get COVID, we're coming over because that's the only time we're going to be accepted there, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
South Australia, squid are going crazy at Wirrina, fishing really, really well. Bag limit capture is very easy to come by. Coffin Bay whiting, fishing really good with bycatch of snook, squid jig. Have a squid jig on standby because they're coming up behind the whiting quite regularly, as well as setting your own drift up for squid too. All in the same area, pretty much all in the same area as the whiting. So they all live on the similar ground. And red mullet, goatfish, barbunya, whatever you want to call it, it's named multiple things. It's one of the only fish found all around the world. and it's a beautiful eating fish. Now, I've only tried it a couple of times. I did personally find it on the softer side of things, a bit mushy,
yep.
But people love it. It's literally, I know in Greece, it's the go-to fish. So it is literally one of the nicest fish you'll eat. And it's caught in Greece too, remember? All around the world, Pat. That's what I said to you.
As my brother-in-law keeps telling me, who is Greek, that the Greeks invented fishing, keeps telling me he's a great fisherman.
So what's wrong with him?
He's not a very good fisherman at all.
He was born in Australia and lost the Greece side.
Let's talk about Portland fishing very well at the moment. There's been some great captures.
Really good captures. And I reckon with the amount of work you've done in the shed lately, it might have been your drill that got caught off the break wall.
What did they catch?
I can't even say the word. Is it Milwaukee?
Not Makita?
Makita, that's the thing. Makita drill.
I reckon if it's a Makita, it might even still work.
This ad was brought to you by
Makita. You know, when I was doing that, so George and I last week, we were spending a bit of time in the shed and we decided to take a few videos and post one up on online. And what were we talking about?
You're talking about lures and lures, trebles and stuff.
Trebles, yeah. We were having a lot of fun. And then someone was getting into me about, and this has happened before, Aaron, about my Ryobi drills. He's in Ryobi.
I can't take sides with anyone here because they don't make left-handed drills and I can't use them, so I've never used one before.
And my view, yes, mate, I'm using Ryobi. Do I look like a chippy to you? Do I look like a builder?
You're far from it.
What's wrong with a Ryobi?
You've got a beautiful set of new bluestone boots. is wrong with a Ryobi?
There's nothing wrong with them, mate. They're brilliant.
Is it electric? Like as in your mower and your
lithium battery? And there's like 20 different products that you can use. You're getting into me. Don't have me DeWalt on me. Sorry, Chief. On your hop.
So I'm tipping that's not top-end market for the builder, is it, Ryobi?
That's your week.
Do they have a speaker? I know builders have got speakers.
I'm a weekend warrior when it comes to my drill work, and there's nothing wrong with Ryobi.
We're going to New South Wales. New South Wales, the Kingfish have their first appearance for a long time, for a few months now, a bit more, they've turned up at Monty Island. And so don't get too excited because it could be on and off for a while, but once we get a bit of current running down the hill, we will start to see consistent captures. Fish will get bigger, get smaller. They'll do their thing as they do, come in different days. You want tide for kingfish. Different to striped marlin, you want the tide. So the days you're chasing the striped marlin during the summer and the months ahead and the current's too strong, push into Monty and get yourself some kingfish. It'll definitely work. You've got the albacore and the small bluefin, also off Burmy, all the way up to Batesman's Bay. They're fishing well. And Port Hacking, again, is fishing well for snapper up around that sort of 50-centimetre mark and lots of them. So not like you're not getting ones, you're getting ones, twos, threes, fours plus. So fresh bait, pillies and squid. Well, pillies, I don't know how fresh they are from the servo, but they're working. But fresh squid always works too. And that is the whip around the country, Patrick.
It's time for the social club. We take your questions from social media. If you want to join in the conversation, make sure you send us in a direct message to our social channels on Facebook and Instagram. Or better yet, download our Real Adventures app.
I've got the first one. I'm going to take it. It's from me. It is going into
what? From you?
Yes, it's coming from me because
you could just say, I've got a question.
I've got a question for you.
What is it?
I remember it. I'm sorry. It's from, it's going off the fishing topic. We're going to footy and you play a little bit of footy.
Yep.
And it's an outdoor show. So footy's outdoors sometimes. So we'll go with that. Except that stadium with a roof on it. It's, you've got the draft week that's just gone by.
Yep, happened Friday night and finished off Thursday.
I'll tell you what, there's some AFL superstars that haven't even played a game of AFL that have come through the draft with the amount of pressure that's been put on their bloody shoulders. I feel sorry for these kids.
It's a bit like that sometimes.
This is ridiculous. What is your number one pick? I think he went to North Melbourne. I've read articles. He's ready for AFL now. Put him in the side now. Like, I understand he's a good player. He hasn't done even a training session with an AFL side, let alone played. Yes, he's dominated the VFL. I have watched.
Sandful.
Same thing, different to state. It's a big step.
That wouldn't go down super well in Adelaide.
Lucky I'm not in Adelaide right now. I'm not allowed there. Actually, I think we are now.
We're broadcasting in Adelaide at the moment.
But I'm not there though.
Okay.
So I can't. They can't get me. But no, seriously, is it how much pressure is put on these young kids?
Huge amount of pressure. Yeah, no doubt. And the number one pick without a doubt, is the added pressure of that. And you could argue that Dacos will have the same going to Collingwood.
Well, I read articles, Dacos putting pressure on himself, saying, I'm spewing, basically. I'm not pick one. Like,
and he wasn't happy that GWS didn't speak to him.
And
But he's not disappointed that GWS didn't pick him because he wanted to stay in Melbourne. It's a bit of a US.
That's not him. That's media.
Well, a bit of a US. He's got a bit of a US slant to him, Mark, in the way that he sort of views it, wants to be, thought of in sort of those conversations. I don't mind that. Absolutely. The pressure's there, but, you know, and the pressure will be there for North Melbourne because they've been at the bottom of the ladder for a while now. He's their number one pick, seen as the saviour. But what I will say about Horn Francis, he could be the best player in the game within 3 years.
He's Sammy Walsh.
Absolutely. But right. He's bigger. He's a phenomenal player.
Right. And he went to pick one.
He was pick one. And you know, so absolutely there's times where...
It's good. Oh, sorry.
There's times where the pressure is just too much and they're just not ready. So Jack Watch is a good example of that. Took some time to really get going. Horn Francis is not one of those players.
So he's ready. And this is the one that ready. I was saying my comments about playing. He's ready to play, so I take my comments
back. The challenge almost is for a team like North Melbourne. He will come into this side, and I don't want to talk him up too much. He will come into this side and be one of their best players very, very quickly. So you're almost dealing internally with a little bit of rivalry that does
internally
that does happen because, rightly or wrongly, you can get a bit jealous sometimes. These players come in, and it's like, oh, you know, everyone keeps talking about Horn Francis, and I'm telling you, once they start playing, they're going to be talking about him even more because he can seriously
Where's
play.
He from?
He's a South Adelaide boy.
South Adelaide.
Yep. So,
well, it's good news for the Cats. Shane Mumford put himself off the retirement list, so if the Cats want to get him at number 20 or something, we'll be able to add him to our long-term
Your age rant, care list. Your rant has cost us the social club.
I've got the first question. It's from Simon.
First and only.
Simon has asked, what's the setup for your hardtop, Pat, with your windscreen regarding your wipers and your freshwater washdown? So how does your hardtop work regarding your wipers and your freshwater washdown?
There's a little side note next to this that Simon is looking at a potential hardtop. If you ask Aaron, he'll say straight away, get a hardtop. What I've done that's really important is there is fresh water running through the windscreen wipers. And Redmond, you were very big on this from the very beginning of the planning of this boat because when you are out on a hot day, you'll still get spray. If you don't have the ability to wipe and wash those down with fresh water, you will not be able to see it out of your
salt
your
dries windscreen. So quick.
It is a nightmare. And that's one of the better things, certainly, that that the boat's got in it because it would just be such a pain.
Just quick one. You've got a middle windscreen, two words in one.
Yep.
A middle windscreen there without a wiper.
Yep.
It did get a little bit annoying for me the other day.
Did it?
Yes. I didn't actually mention it to you. I was meant to. I noticed it when you were driving in. This was actually... I was sort of standing in the middle side and it had that crusty look where each side was crystal clear with the wipers. So I reckon we could nearly put a 30.
It might be a little low, especially when you're going to be fishing. Like you're going to take the boat up to Burmy and you're going to be looking for birds all day.
And that angle looking to my left is through that middle windscreen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we might have to
little oversight,
cut another hole there.
Beautiful work. Well, great question, Simon. Good on you. If you want to join in the conversation, make sure you get in touch with us on our Real Adventures socials. We'd love to hear from you. The more interactive, certainly the better for us. You're listening to Real Adventures.
Gearing up for Dometic. Enjoy the great outdoors with all the comforts of home with Dometic.
It's time for gearing up for Dometic. Enjoy the great outdoors with all the comforts of home with Dometic. Our special guest this morning is Robin Box from Safari H2O. Good morning, Robin.
Hey, good morning, Patrick.
Now, I've got a wonderful Safari H2O, a kayak. Tell us about the journey, about the brand and how it's all come to pass. And now it's one of the premier kayaks in Australia.
Well, it goes back. It's got quite a history back into the early 80s. I was always an enthusiastic kayaker, and then we started manufacturing them back when they was all made out of fiberglass. And the sit-on-top fishing thing wasn't even part of the equation then. And then so through that, we learned to do all our modelling and designing and so forth. And then moving forward quite a few years, the area moving into the fishing, like we had quacks that we were putting some fishing accessories on and calling them our fishing model. And then when we had that long period of dry weather, the rivers all dropped, and we're in an area where the Murray cod fishing is like the most sought after type fish to, such a trophy fish to catch. And the rivers got so low, you couldn't put tinnies in. And we started to get some inquiries, and a fisherman's desire to go fishing is pretty strong. And so we started to get some interest in something more dedicated to snag rivers that were low, so I had to have a really shallow draft. And so that would be the most amount of design and time put into any of our kayak models, because the others were designed for paddlers, whereas we had to try and pick up the paddling thing so it was enjoyable to use, but also pick up all the features that a fisherman wanted. So that whole design was unique to get a really shallow draft. So if you got timber out of the water, you can just get a good run up and get it halfway across and then push on and keep going and get into all the tricky spots. And that, in our area here, certainly for the Murray cod, the fish were where the tinnies couldn't get to, all around the woodwork and snags. So that was kind of the start of the fully dedicated direction to a fishing model. So yeah, that's how it all moved to there. But that's a 30-odd year snapshot.
Can I take us back a step? Because especially over the last 10 years, we've seen the huge influx in imported products because cost base, reduction of cost, quality itself reduces. Safari H2O has remained an Australian-built product. How important is that to you and to the brand?
Well, Australian-made, well, it's the right thing to do, and it's a good thing, and we really enjoy doing it. But Australia's conditions are a little unique, and the material you have to use, so the grade and quality of plastic, certainly from a rigidity point of view, impact resistant, and most importantly, UV stability, that the material that's manufactured, and we use manufactured material from Australia, and the feedstock it comes from our gas fields in Australia. That's the origins of plastic. And the UV package that we use, in other words, the stability not to fade or stress crack, like the environmental stress crack you see in old plastic, it starts all chalk up. And that is the big difference. And that does impact cost, because your material that we manufacture that out of is 50% more expensive than some of the other types of plastic that you could mould a kayak out of, but we don't because they get too heavy and too flexible.
Is it one of the things, though, clearly you must be very proud of the fact that it is Australian made, and it must resonate with the people that buy Safari H2Os knowing that it's made by Australians?
Well, yeah, it is. It is nice to know that, because one or another, we all want our country to go turn along well economically wise, but the thing that it's in support and backup, and you actually get to speak to the person or the people that are involved. And our crew here, we've got a lot of very dedicated fishermen on staff here. And so, yeah, they're excited to be part of all that. But it is important to us, the Australian made, and it is somewhat difficult to always maintain that. But it is still viable and worthwhile. You just have to be at the pointy end of development, that's all.
Robin, I'm on the Safari website at the moment. And for those that are at home that want to actually see the website, it's safarih2o.com.au. Now, I've hit canoes and kayaks here, and I've gone into the fishing section, Patrick, as I like to do.
Doesn't surprise me at all, that.
I'm looking at, there's a couple here. One's the Voyager 2 fishing and the Drifter 2 fishing, which I strongly don't recommend for you or I, Pat, because we both can't decide on anything or agree with anything. So we'll end up just doing circles all day.
You're better off going singles.
We'll go singles, because you'll paddle left, I'll paddle right. But there's so many different range of different, kayaks, as you could see them in front of you, and canoes for different sorts of angling and people. Can you take us through of your different models and what's actually gone into designing these?
There's too many.
There is. That's why I'm asking, because I don't know which one to look at.
Yeah, that's on the surface, that's a fair observation, but they're all there for very separate reasons.
Yep.
Usually the two people, one is when that's a family, and when one in the family, usually one of the adults, is a very enthusiastic fisherman,
yep.
and the children are wanting to come on board. Sometimes it's couples that do it, but it's usually, and as the children get bigger, they want to have their own seat, and they, that's usually where that happens, is that, so you need to be able to code for the inspiring young fishermen coming on, and the sit-in, sit-on combinations, they each have their application. Nothing's easier to use, and you'll feel instantly comfortable on a sit on top. But they're a bit colder, and they're a bit more exposed to the elements. If you're a really dedicated winter fisherman, and you're more likely to be in lakes and on rivers, a sit in type kayak, it's not as convenient on the deck, but it will let you do that all year round in a lot more comfort.
Robin, I'm going to give you my favourite because I feel like I do enough sort of exercise throughout the week, Redmond. So when I get in the yak, I don't really want to
I've just changed my mind. This is why I want the Voyager 2, so I can sit with you so you can paddle me around.
No. I'm talking about the Murray Electric. Right. Robin, clearly a big change
Ooh.
And focus the last few years has been electric motors, the popularity of them, and you've adjusted and added models to the Safari H2O range. With the electrification of some of the models that you've got, the Murray Electric is a great example of that.
So the Murray Electric, it was fishermen, exercise is not their primary interest. It's the desire to go fishing that usually overrides all of that.
Well said.
And in the design, and certainly of the Murray, we did make sure, because designing holes are something we're very good at. The deck fit out on it, we had some good expertise, and certainly from a bunch of local fishing people that do your magazine articles and so forth. And so from a deck fit out point of view, so we wanted to make sure that the boat was a good boat if you wanted to paddle it, but the electric just gets you a lot further. So like the electric assist bikes, you still use your paddles, but you've got some more choices. But what we did, there's two unique things to the electric. One is that the state laws in Victoria, the boat fully registered and a full boat licence, which was more onerous than a jet ski. We did visit Spring Street and we had a lot of support there, and eventually that has been removed now. So you're up to the 24-pound thrust motor. There's no licence, no registration needed. The other thing is you want your hands free to use the rod, and so the steering mechanism is all done by your feet, which keeps your hands free. And there was a lot of development to get that to do that. And it can turn, like it can just turn in its own length. So you had maneuverability that lets it work in the rivers quite well. If you hook up a cod and it's trying to drag you in under the snags, you need to be able to stay above it. And the other thing there is that you can just, by pushing both feet forward, flip the motor right out. So if you're trying to get over a log or you bring it back into shore, so you don't do any damage to your motor. So that was the thing that was a very, very steep and long development curve to get that sorted. But we've had a lot of, a bit like what you said, Pat, it's the one that everybody's choice is if they can.
I don't think I need to look at anything else on the website to tell you the truth, Pat. It's got an engine.
Robin, we appreciate your time on Real Adventures this morning and coming on and talking about Safari H2O. If you'd like more information on Safari H2O kayaks, make sure you head to their website. And it's also got all the dealers right across Australia where you can go and buy yourself a Safari H2O kayak.
With an electric motor.
With an electric motor. Robin, thank you for your time this morning.
No, thank you very much.
Robin Box from Safari H2O. That was Gearing Up for Dometic, mobile living made easy. Speaking of Dometic, Redmond, now our Reds review for this morning is a short and sharp one.
They're in front of me.
You can hear it. Sorry, we'll probably just destroy your
car speakers.
Now, Dometic have their new tumbler range.
They do. And the Thermo Tumbler 320ml is $25. And the Dometic Thermo Bottle is $660, which is $40.
Now, I've got a bit of an issue with this, Redmond, though. because of their thermal capabilities.
Which one are you holding? You've got the tumbler in front
of you. I've got the tumbler. And we posted a few shots on our socials during the week. I have to add a little bit of cold water to my cup of tea in the morning as I drive into training because it tends to keep it a little bit too hot for a little bit too long. So be mindful that the thermal capabilities are that good that you do need to get your temperature, set it, and then put it in because it's a wonderful piece of technology. It's very simple, but it is brilliant, and it's something that that a fisho in the morning or you're heading outdoors, whatever it might be, in the early hours of the morning, it's lovely to have a hot brew throughout the day, Redmond.
It is, and the other one, which was the thermo bottle, Patrick, that we were talking about, wall installation, which will keep drinks hot for 12 hours, and cold for 24. So I reckon.
When would have you ever
six shots of Jameson with a little bit of Coke should top that up nicely?
When would have you ever sat on a drink for 12 hours? We're gonna need to speak to Dometic about getting.
Do you reckon that's stupid advertising, Dometic?
One that's keg size
for
you.
Just telling us the capabilities. Like you can run for 20, but you've never done more than 5 going back by going forward in an AFL game. The capabilities are there.
If you want more information on Dometic's range of tumblers, make sure you head to their website for more information.
You're listening to Real Adventures with Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Hadgood.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. It's time for Red's Tip. Redmond, what do you have for us?
Just looked at me silly like I was bringing the show in then, Patrick. We've got to be quick. Stop.
I was looking for you to take some responsibility.
I am. I'm taking Red's Tip. And you know what I'm going to do? Because we are kicking your boat out at the moment.
Mm.
And I ordered some more sinkers. $1,300 worth, mind you, from Phillip Island, the guy that makes them there.
Yeah, the problem is the weight. They're heavy.
Wayne and that's Craig had to pick them up. It was like carrying 3 barrel tuna back.
That's why it costs so much.
Anyway, we're going back down to the storage side of it. You don't need to have a stupid amount of sinkers on the boat.
No.
But what you do need to do is itemize them into each sort of, I guess, the ounces you're running.
Yeah, the weight variation.
There's nothing worse than going to your mate, grab a sinker out, grab a 3 ounce. And your mate's like, I can look at sinkers, I know what a 3 ounce is or a 5 ounce just by my eye. But it's hard to see 5 ounce or 3 ounce on a sinker, especially if they're being used. It's not really existent.
They don't really spend a huge amount of time designing them.
Yep. Engraving into the side of the sinker with the lead. But just put them into sections, and on the front of the tubs, a simple sticker on the front of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 to up to whatever you're using. And I've got a box that has 12 plus, and it just says 12 plus on it. And it has 12s, 14s, 16s, 18s, and 20s in it. And I only have like four of them in each because I'm never going to use them. If I'm dedicated going kingfish fishing, I'm going away somewhere. Yes, I'll take more, but I'll probably take the 3s out, like, because I'm just not going to use them. Yep. So make sure you do number your sinkers on the boat and don't carry a stupid amount like I have been. Split them up and just carry what you need, and you also won't waste as many as well. It's now time for the Flying Gaff. Patrick, what do you got for us this week?
Well, the Flying Gaff, it heads to the AFL and to North Melbourne because the AFL, the broadcast started at 7 o'clock.
North Melbourne or the AFL? Who's it going to?
It's going to both.
Okay.
Broadcast starts at 7. It took till 7:30 for the Sheaf to read out the first pick, Gil. It took him half an hour. I reckon we could have wrapped that a little bit quicker. And then North Melbourne, they've had 4 months with the number one pick and it took 5 minutes to read out the first pick.
So what do you mean by that? Like they had 5 minutes to choose.
You're on the clock, you've got 5 minutes to choose. May have been slightly disrupted by the fact that there were other trades happening.
But my gaff
felt like it could have happened a bit quicker.
My gaff's going to anyone who watched the actual draft. Why would you watch a draft?
Speaking of,
what do you gain out of that?
Well, there's no point watching. It's time to go fishing, Redmond.
It is. I'm going fishing tomorrow because today's crap. Tomorrow's good.
We'll see you next weekend.